You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We can veer off into any sort of random discussions, but we have an outline that we've planned for you, but sometimes we don't stick to that.
That's the charm of the show, really, is when we do veer off subject.
Yeah. But before we dive into those subjects that we have planned, we like to go over an introduction of who we are and what we've been up to since our last broadcast. And this one is unique because for the first time ever in our podcasting history, one of us got sick just in time for the recording session for the podcast. And of course, it was me.
Well, that's all right. I mean, you know, it happens. It's unavoidable sometimes.
All right. Yeah, that's the way I felt that last week. I was completely sick.
Are you feeling better now, though?
Yeah, I'm feeling better now. I'm still not completely over it. Every now and then, I still have a cough from it.
So what? But so you were out for like the whole week, though, weren't you?
Not the whole week, but a good 3 days. I was out.
Oh my gosh!
I was on sleep, soup, and antibiotics.
Wow,
that's fun.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, some soup is good. Did you have any particularly good soup?
I had some chicken noodle soup, homemade. That was awesome.
That's always a classic. Yeah.
Yep. But even the most delicious soups, if you have that for a steady diet, it gets old.
Yeah, it does.
It gets old.
You can only last on liquids for so long.
Yeah, it gets annoying after a while. The thing that pisses me off.
So as soon as you started feeling better, you went out and you got a cheesesteak, right?
Oh, the first thing I got when after I was feeling well enough to go out was
an entire pizza.
Close.
Oh, no, wow.
In Conshohocken, there's a place called Lenny's.
Okay.
And they have a roast pork sandwich.
Ooh.
Oh.
Roast pork and broccoli wrap?
Yep. And I got the long one. I got the 12-incher.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That felt so good.
Now, that's how you fight a cold right there.
Yeah. Pork and broccoli rabe and garlic. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds
Take
good.
That.
Oh, man. I'm going to have second dinner after the podcast.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do afterwards.
Yeah. We're going to go get some roast pork sandwiches.
But anyway, to go back to what happened, yeah, I just had a really bad chest cold, and I couldn't even speak for a good couple minutes without coughing horrendously.
Gosh.
It was bad.
That sounds really rough.
So instead of trying to debacle my way through 2 hours of trying to talk and cough everywhere, I decided to just play it safe and just say we need to take this week off.
Yeah, but I mean,
at least I did.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it's
sorry,
it's,
Mike.
No, I mean, you know, it happens. You can't always avoid getting sick. You know, it's
that fucking sucked.
Yeah, you know, it's whatever. It gave the listeners a chance to catch up on. I think we aired the best of episode, right?
Yeah, so that's what we had in its place.
So,
the best of episode, which is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, oh my gosh, obviously it's the best of our crazy bits. You know,
yeah. So.
Of course, it's amazing.
But yeah, that's where I was last. That's where we both weren't on the air last week. So there you go. That's why. In the meantime, how about you, Mike? What have you done in the 2 weeks since I've last seen you?
Well, I've stayed healthy for one.
Good job. That fucking sucked.
But that's mostly because I've just been focusing on schoolwork. But I have been diligently catching up on Game of Thrones, which is just the most fantastic series right now, in my opinion.
In your face! Ha ha!
Yeah, I am so in love with that series right now. It's just incredible. But I also got a chance, I think we talked about this a couple months ago, I watched the Simpsons and Family Guy crossover episode.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
It was actually very good, but it is not for people that are not fans of the two shows, because the entire hour-long episode was just reference after reference after reference from the histories of both shows. Like, they jumped the Springfield Gorge.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of great classic references from both series that any diehard fans will love it, but I don't know about casual fans. I don't know if they'll really appreciate all the little touches that went into it. But definitely one to check out. You know, it's a historic moment in animated TV history, I think.
Yep. Something that I was able to catch up on in the 2 weeks since our last broadcast, I finally was able to catch up with Breaking Bad.
Oh.
And it's not to say that I didn't want to watch Breaking Bad. It was one of those situations where I'd missed like an episode, and then it just snowballed into like, I'm never going to catch up with this show
until
it all came out on Netflix.
Yeah. And also it's tough, you know, because there's so many shows on TV now going on. It's tough to keep up with, you know, every single one that comes out, all the good ones. You know, I miss Game of Thrones. You know, I still haven't watched Mad Men, so.
Yeah,
you know.
Mike. Get on that.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Don't you want to hear quotes like that?
I do. I might just have, you know, I might have to, you know, do like you did and wait for it all to come out on Netflix, though.
Yeah, so. Well, I tell you what, that really works out with Breaking Bad, because some of those cliffhangers are brutal.
Oh, my. Every episode is like,
I don't know how you guys got through it.
Oh, my God. Well, we watched the first 4.5 seasons on Netflix, and we caught up to when the last half of the fifth season was airing. So we did have to wait once we caught up to that point. But, oh, my gosh. It really is a show made for binging, I think.
Yeah. So that's what I was enjoying while I was sick.
Well, there you go.
That was my diet. Soup, sleep, antibiotics, and Breaking Bad.
Meth.
Breaking Bad, yes. Thank you.
No, yeah, I meant... happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth. we meant Breaking Bad, not meth, right?
Of course.
That's what the chest cold came from.
Yeah. I didn't think we were going to break out that sound clip until later on in the show, but all right.
Oh, you mean we have something to break out that sound clip for?
Perhaps.
Oh, I'm excited. Happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth.
I love that sound clip.
Oh, the things we say on this podcast. Oh, my gosh.
Aren't you hip to the rap music? These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like that. But you know what? Before we get too off the rails with our crazy sound clips, because you know we could go on all night just talking about that.
This is so bad.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Yeah, of course. Yeah. I've got the pistol, and we're ready. You know, I might as well just play along with it at this
point.
There
you go. Perfect.
I got a pistol up my ass. And you know what that means, folks? It's time. It's time for the first segment. It's the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
That's right. Pistol up the ass. And in your face, it's the Sports
Perfect.
Sampler.
Yep. The old pistol up the ass signifies that we've got the Sports Sampler coming up. And it's time to go into Mike's favorite subject in the Sports Sampler. It's football news.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and fuck football.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
OPP. Right into.
Oh my god.
We're back on track.
This stupid video. Why do people put intros on videos?
Perfect.
Oh, my God.
We're down with OPP and football here in the Sports Sampler. Oh, my God.
Do we just roll with that?
You know what? Why not?
Why not? at this point. Oh my god.
Pistols up the ass. OPP.
Yeah, why not?
All right. Well, so, anyway, the point is, we're supposed to talk about football right now, but there you go. This is our entrance music for some football, because the Eagles shut out the Giants 27-0
in
week
six.
The first shutout.
Yeah, first shutout in what is it, 18 years?
Since 96.
Wow.
I was 7.
Wow. We're getting old, Rich. Oh, gosh. We're getting old. But, oh my gosh, it was amazing to watch the shutout against the division rival New York Giants. First in 18 years. There's a lot of amazing things to talk about with this game. First off, the defense, you know, shutting out the Giants, that is a huge accomplishment. And they really, it was just phenomenal. We held them to, 14% third down conversion rate.
Yeah.
I mean, that is,
that reduces second chances. It stops drives.
I mean,
that's a key to a good defense.
It really is. Really is. The most impressive thing about the defense, I thought, during the game was when we made that goal line stand on fourth down and stopped them from scoring. Did you catch that play?
That was definitely a great stop. I mean, that's a huge momentum swing.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I thought, you know what? I think things are going to be all right in this game when we were able to stop them fourth and goal to go. I mean, that is a huge task for a defense.
Yeah, that Giants offensive line was just getting manhandled.
Oh, God, it was bad.
Manning had sack after sack after sack in that game. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm looking at the stats. Oh, my gosh, the stats are, you can't even count how many sacks there were. At least 8, I think. It was just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. The other important thing is, finally, the offensive line and LeSean McCoy got back on track.
Yep. That offensive line seemed to be more of a cohesive unit this week.
Yeah.
As opposed to the debacle it's been the last couple
weeks. Oh, man, it's been bad. And it really paid off for McCoy, who tore off 149 yards.
Yeah, back to that fantasy legend he was last year.
Yeah, the key is, though, will he be able to keep this up? That's the key.
Yep.
I'm hoping, you know, part of me thinks, are the Giants just really bad or are the Eagles that good? So
I think it's a little bit of both.
I think it's a little bit of both as well, because switching over to the cons side of the night, Nick Foles, I mean, continues to struggle. 2 picks.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of sad to see him regress. Considering that last season, he only had 2 picks the entire season.
Yeah, now we're lucky if we get out of a game without 2 picks.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's the wide receivers, if it's Nick Foles. I hope it's not Nick Foles, because then that means we're going to have issues at quarterback. And you know what happens to teams that have issues at quarterback?
Yeah, it doesn't end well.
Yeah. The other sort of sad news is Darren Sproles has an MCL sprain and is going to be out for 1 to 2 weeks.
Yep, and it's a shame because Sproles is a great change of pace running back.
Oh yeah,
to complement McCoy.
Not to mention such a threat in the return game as well.
Yeah,
you know, now the other teams are taking the Eagles' special teams a little more seriously, I think, after Darren Sproles' play and just the general efficiency of the special teams. But so we're going to be missing a big part there. Darren Sproles now out 1 to 2 weeks. But overall, I thought it was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, well, hey, the bottom line is the Eagles shut out the Giants. That's all. That's still any sort of doubts that you had about the Eagles have been washed away with that score, 27-0.
That's right.
Awesome.
And going into the bye week now, they'll have a little bit of time to rest up as well. I don't know. Maybe things are looking up for Eagles Nation.
Well, I'll tell you what, 5-1, tied for first in the division.
In the division, in the league, Rich.
Yeah. What more can you ask?
Yeah. There's not much really that more you can ask for with a record at 5-1 going into the bye. Coming out of the bye, it's going to be tough, but you know, I think we're on we're on a good path right now.
Yeah,
for the most part.
So there you go. Our hometown Eagles pulling out a big shutout against the division rival Giants, 27-0. And they'll get a well-deserved bye week next week, so they'll have an extra week to rest up. Maybe it'll be good timing for Sproles so that he can heal that sprain in his knee. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right, but now let's get to something else that I've just I can't believe this happened. Yeah. And it's just the complete antithesis of everything that Michael Costanzo stands for.
Yeah, yeah.
Folks, we have a tie.
It's a miracle!
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call it a miracle, Rich.
Ties rarely happen in football.
Yeah, but it's still the only major sport that has ties.
That fucking sucked.
It does suck. Yep. I mean, all right, and you know what made it suck even doubly so is the fact that it was one of our Fantastic Four picks, Rich.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, even better.
Should we mention it wasn't an official one because obviously we didn't record last week, but we still picked behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, and we posted it on Twitter.
Right, right.
You know, so we tried to make it Twitter official.
Yeah.
Verified,
yeah. And this was one of the games that we had picked was the Bengals and the Panthers, and they tied 37-37.
Yep.
What a mess.
Yep. Now, they both scored field goals in the overtime period.
Right.
Which that would not have been allowed in the old rules before the overtime change happened.
Right, right.
But let's go over the basics in case you're new to the podcast. Mike,
ties suck.
Mike hates ties. And why is that, Mike?
Because they're stupid. There's no reason to have. I love how you just sit back and wait for me to start talking. Because let me. I got to get this off my chest because ties are just.
This is so bad.
Yes, they are so bad. They are the dumbest thing in sports. One, because it sucks for the fans. No fan likes to see a tie. No fan is going to say, "Oh, we were just mediocre. You know, we're not good enough to win, and we're not horrible enough to lose. So we're stuck in some." Like no man's wasteland of mediocrity. Two, it sucks for the players. They go out there, they sweat, they bleed, they play their hardest to what? Walk away with a tie? And to rub salt in the wound, the way the NFL counts ties is that it pretends like the game never happened at all, which I think is the most ludicrous aspect of ties, because if you can't put enough value on it to figure it in to the win percentage somehow, then why even have it in the first place? Can you give me a logical reason that ties should still exist in football?
I guess if I have to be devil's advocate here.
Don't. Be devil's advocate, yes.
Well, you know, by the time you're playing at that point 75 minutes of football, these players are extremely prone to injuries.
Okay.
I mean, is it worth it to suffer a career threatening injury all because of an overtime period that these guys can't seem to score in?
Then why don't they find another way to implement the ties into the win-loss percentage rather than just write it off as never happening? That's the biggest insult right there. I mean, you talk about, you know, the risk of injury in the last 15 minutes. What about the first 60 minutes that they played? What happens if somebody got injured in that game and then the game doesn't count at all?
So then what would you want it to be like a point system like hockey does?
Like
a tie is 2 points or a win is 2 points and a tie is 1 point?
I don't know. It happens.
Overtime loss is a point.
It's too rare for that to work out effectively in the NFL, I think.
Yes, I mean, to me, it sounds like you either have to take the status quo on ties or get rid of them completely. You can't really have
middle. I would advocate for getting rid of them.
Yeah, I know you, Mike. Yeah, of course you would.
I think, look, if they played 75 minutes already, you know, what's another 15 going to do? I think after the first, you know, in the scenario like this past weekend, the next team to score would have won the game. So if they just tacked on another 15 minutes, you know, one of the teams could have driven 50 yards, kicked a field goal, and the game would have been over in 2-3 minutes.
Yep. By the way, there was a kicker. I don't know. Was it the Panthers? Was it on the Panthers side?
I forget.
Yeah, somebody had a chance to win the game right in the closing seconds of overtime, and they blew a 30-yard field goal.
Yeah, I mean, no field goal is easy, but in the NFL, 30-yard field goals are considered, very makeable. So I don't know why he missed it, because everything about it was good. The place was good. The snap was good. It wasn't tipped. He just kicked it wide. What was it? Wide right? Wide left? Yeah. Something? I forget.
It didn't go through.
It didn't go through. That's all that matters. I don't know. Ties just really piss me off, because I don't see the need for them. And neither does the NFL. The NFL doesn't count them. That's the thing. If the NFL doesn't factor them in, the NFL is saying that it's, that's what gets me, is that the NFL is like almost implicitly saying that that game didn't matter. Well, if it didn't matter, then why have the tie?
Well, I think the way you're trying to explain it is, look at the way the current standings are set up. Because right now the Bengals are in first place, but
right. And
Ravens have more wins than they do.
Exactly. Yeah, the Ravens are, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they're 4-2. And if I can find it now. Yeah, the Ravens are 4-2, and the Bengals are 3-1-1.
And one.
And leading the division because their win percentage is higher.
Yeah, because of the tie.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that, that sucks for the Browns, too, because the Browns, they have an above 500 record. They're battling to stay in the division. But if the season were to end now, they wouldn't make the playoffs because the idiot Bengals with their 3-1-1 record. Instead of counting it as a loss, which, would tie them with the Cleveland Browns and put them in second place where they deserve to be. Because they're not better than the Ravens. They have one less win than the Ravens. The Ravens have won more games than them.
All right. Well, let's get to something that is very important.
Okay.
And that is with our Fantastic Four picks. Because this was one of the games we picked. So do we just say N1 to whatever our record is?
No. I say, as you know, standing with my belief that there should not be ties, I say that the game should, that pick should count as a loss for us. And I'll tell you why. Because we're not competing. We're picking a binary. It's either we got the pick right or we got the pick wrong. We didn't get the pick half right and half wrong. We got the pick wrong because we said the Bengals would win.
But there's no option for ties when we do the Fantastic Four picks.
Should we put one in?
Do we have to now?
Do you want to?
Oh, God.
See, this is the problem with ties. It only complicates matters. Ties don't ever simplify anything. They only complicate.
So that means now...
I say it counts as a loss. If you want to put your record as whatever 2-1-1, go right ahead.
I'll do it.
I'm standing by. I'm saying I'm 2-2 this week.
I'll take it. Yay! And one.
This should count as.
Do we get a sponsorship from that company And One now?
I don't know. We'll have to contact them. Yeah, and see. Yeah.
Bruno, get on that. Bruno, come on. Let's get him on that.
I'm amazed that your voice can travel all the way to Drummond's school at Temple.
Yep. He'll get on that immediately. Okay.
We just send him messages over the podcast.
Yeah. Get on that, Bruno. Before we get into our Fantastic Four picks for next week, there is something I do want to talk about.
Okay.
I would have talked about this last week, had I not gotten sick, but.
Yeah. We got to switch topics from ties because I'm too flustered right now.
Yep. Well, right now I'm going to go on something that I'm kind of a little pissed off about.
Oh, God.
Yep. The thing that pisses me off. Yeah, this pisses me off.
So you mean I have to maintain my level of anger?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try.
And I'm starting to get pissed off at these Thursday night games. All right.
Yeah, there's been a couple of Thursday night debacles, haven't there? I mean, there's no two ways around it.
Yeah. And they're division games. These division games should be very tight.
They should be. That is the strangest thing, in my opinion, is that all these division games are ending in such lopsided scores.
Yeah.
So should I review some of the scores from
please,
these Thursday night debacles?
Go ahead.
Going back to well, week one was not a division matchup, but it was the Seahawks and the Packers. You had the Seahawks beating the Packers 36-16. That's a 20-point lead. You have then week two starts the division debacles. The Ravens beating the Steelers 26-6, another 20-point lead. Then you have in week three, the Falcons annihilating a high school team known as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 56-14.
Yep, and we complained about that.
That's right. Week four, we have the Giants, who just lost to the Eagles, but the Giants put up 45 points against the Redskins 14 in Thursday Night Football. And then to finish things off, we have the Packers crushing the Vikings 42-10 in week five. This past week, was the first week that a Thursday night game didn't end in utter disaster.
Yep, but the first half, the Colts were up 21-0.
That's right. And I believe I even texted you. I said, oh, are we going to get another Thursday night debacle?
Yeah.
And then, thankfully, the Texans tried to put up a fight. But the point is, the first 5 weeks of the year, these Thursday night games have been utterly just awful. They've been disappointing in every way you can imagine.
And I think part of the problem is the fact that you have a short week.
If
you're playing Sunday and then all of a sudden your next game's Thursday, you only have 3 days to rest, prepare, and warm up for the next game. And that's just not enough in terms of professional football. It really isn't.
No, you're absolutely right. And you know what? This is an interesting subject because this year we actually have a Thursday night game on Thanksgiving, and we have a short week that week where I think we play we play Dallas on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah,
right. And we have I think four days until I think it's only a 4 day break in between the two games.
Yeah,
and how are we going to go from? It just pisses me off. It really does because
the thing that pisses me off.
Yeah. It's not enough time. It's nowhere near enough time.
I don't understand why. I mean, I know football wanted to expand their options for watching football, so they wanted to add another day so that people could watch football. But, like, why not, like, Friday night? I would watch Friday night football.
What about Saturday night football?
Well, Saturday, then you run into college. I understand
that. Screw college. I mean, I know college is probably bigger than the professional football in some states.
Yeah.
I've never been a fan of it. But, you know, I guess the thing behind Friday night is, I guess, a lot of people go and hang out on Friday nights.
And why not at a bar and watch the football game?
That's true.
FNF.
True. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Friday night football, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Is there a historic precedent for Thursday night football?
Like Thanksgiving.
But that's it.
Why
would they extend it to the rest of the year?
The opener. Isn't the opener always on Thursday?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so there's two Thursday night games, I guess.
But why do we need the Thursday night games, you know, every week except in addition to those 2 weeks? What makes it so special, Thursday night football?
Well, I mean, what I said, the idea was, you know, that the NFL wanted to expand to another day.
Okay.
But yeah, why not Friday? At least give the teams another day. I mean, it's getting obvious that these teams that play Sunday and then try to fit a workload into that following Thursday, they're just not ready.
Yeah, football is a very intense sport. Takes a huge physical toll. You know, with all the concern over player safety, a 4 day break is really not cutting it.
No, so. That's just my little gripe that I've come across. I don't know.
Boy, we're really angry in this sports sample.
Damn it, guys! What's going on here?
We never get
we're
this
We're down
heated.
With OPP and you just are not, and we're disappointed.
That's right. Yes, I concur.
Shout out to my homies.
Yo.
All right. Let's get into our next segment in the sports sampler. Folks, it's time to give you the four games that we think are going to be the closest and our predictions for them. We call it the Fantastic Four Picks. Oh, yeah. The music kicks in. It's time to launch into Fantastic Four Pick mode. Mike, what is our first pick? for right. week, what is this, week seven?
Week seven, yes. The Eagles have a bye week, sadly, but that doesn't mean we stop paying attention to the NFC East. We got to watch out for our NFC East rivals. That's why we're keeping a close eye on the Giants as they travel all the way to Dallas to face off against the dreaded division-leading Cowboys on Sunday, the 19th. It's an afternoon game. Rich, how do you feel about this division matchup?
Oh, God. This is like choosing to... This is like a choice between poop and vomit.
All right, then. Which do you choose, poop or vomit?
I've got to choose the poop that is the Dallas Cowboys. Because the Giants, coming off of that shutout loss to the Eagles, they're not in a good state of mind after that game. Whereas the Cowboys, on the other hand, coming off of a huge, huge, huge road win over the defending Super Bowl champion Seahawks. I can't defend it. It's got to be the Dallas Cowboys. I don't see how the Giants are going to be able to go on the road and beat the Cowboys in their billion-dollar stadium.
Yeah, you know what? I hate to say it. I really do. But I gotta go with the poop as well. Going with the Cowboys because, like you said, the Cowboys are on a tear. They just beat the Seahawks. They're leading the league in rushing yards per game. They have a ridiculous 56% third down conversion rate.
That offensive line is really clicking for the Cowboys, I gotta admit.
Everything is really clicking for them. I hate to say it, but they're the ones to beat in the NFC East right now. I'm going with the Dallas Cowboys. And you know what? Our associate producer, John Bruno Costanzo, my brother, he picks the poop as well. He's going with the Cowboys. I love that we call them the poop. Anyway,
Let's move on.
Let's move on to more exciting things. How about an offensive shootout between the Cincinnati Bengals traveling to visit the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday? It's a 1 o'clock game. Rich, what do you got?
All right. Now, I know Cincinnati is coming off of a tie, and they're a little bit injury prone lately, so they're feeling the hurt. But you know what? If Cincinnati wants to stay strong in that tough division, they've got to march into Indianapolis and win this game. If they don't, they're going to lose pace with the Ravens, who are starting to find their stride, and the Browns, who are surprisingly starting to rise in that division.
Maybe we'll see them in a future Fantastic Four.
Yeah. So, Bengals, I'm going to say this is actually a must-win game for the Bengals. If they lose this to the Colts, they're going to be in trouble. So, I say Cincinnati has to win this game.
You know what? I have to disagree. It is a must-win game for the Bengals, but I just don't see them doing it. They're going to be without A.J. Green again, one of their stellar wide receivers. And just this past week without him, they barely managed to tie with the Panthers, who are struggling. The Colts are a much better team than the Panthers. They continue to impress with their league-leading offense. They have an average defense. They're playing at home in that, you know, that Indianapolis Dome. I got to go with the Colts. But you know what? JB agrees with you. He's picking Bengals.
Bengals. All right.
All right. So for our third Fantastic Four pick, we go to the opposite side of the spectrum. We're having a defensive struggle between the 49ers and the Broncos. Rich, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the home team on this one, Denver Broncos. Peyton Manning, he will find ways to win in this one. He'll be nice and comfortable right at Mile High Stadium. 49ers, you know, I mean, they're decent, but I don't think they're as strong as they were last season. So I'm going to go with Denver in this interesting matchup.
Rich, I got to agree with you. The 49ers are not the same team they were last year. But more importantly, the Broncos have one of the best offenses in the league, and now they have the defense to match. They have the fourth best run defense in the league, which will give the 49ers some trouble. Like you said, they got to play in Denver. So I'm going with the Broncos. And you know what? JB is feeling the Broncos as well. It's a sweep for the Broncos. What do you know?
There you go.
And for our final matchup, we are picking a primetime showdown between the Houston Texans and the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday Night Football. Rich, what do you think?
I'm going to use a similar argument to the Bengals and Colts game, and this one for the Steelers, because the Steelers are coming off of a couple of disappointing losses as well. If the Steelers blow this game at home to the Texans, they're as good as gone from this division. They're actually in last place, I think, right now in the division.
I think so, yes.
Yeah. So if they lose this, they're really going to be far off the pace.
in terms of the of trying to win the division. Texans, on the other hand, that AFC South is relatively weak. They only really have to contend with the Colts. I say this is a must-win game for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They should be able to pull it off at home.
All right, you know what? I agree with you on this one as well. The Steelers, they have to win this one, like you said. But my logic is a little different. I've noticed a trend that the Steelers have been winning every other game, and since they lost last week, that means they must win this week, right?
All right, fair enough.
Gotta go with the Steelers. I love trends, but apparently JB doesn't. He disagrees with us.
Whoa.
He says the Texans. So there you go. This is a good week.
Yeah.
A lot of variation.
Yeah, finally.
Finally, I know.
We had a couple of weeks where we weren't really disagreeing a whole lot.
Yeah.
But there you go. Now we're in the heat of it. Now we're starting to like a couple of teams. We got our fingers in many different pies in the NFL.
We have our crazy logic.
We have our ridiculous logic. But there you go. That is the nature of the Fantastic Four picks. And those are this week's Fantastic Four picks for week number 7 of the NFL season. All right. There you go. Woo! Good way to end that.
Sampler. Gotta love the Fantastic Four picks.
Yeah, and timed that pretty well too. We're getting good with the measurement on that Dead Mouse music.
Well, you know, we have like a year and a half of experience with it. Yeah. The Fantastic Four picks. So,
yeah,
that's just how awesome we are. And you know what? Before my head gets too big and the ego explodes outside of these headphones, why don't we take a little break, Rich?
All right, I think that's a good idea. But do not go anywhere because we have much more show coming up. And coming up next, we'll have the entertainment entree. What kind of topics do we have in that?
Oh, we got a whole bunch of good stuff, you guys. We're going over this week in entertainment, the latest entertainment releases. We're also talking a little bit about some programming updates for Netflix and AMC. So some interesting new stuff going on.
Yep. And then after that, we'll have this week's batch of odd news in the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. Much more show still to come. We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signage for top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Two costume characters in New York City's Times Square were arrested on Saturday night. When the two disputed over some name-calling, the New York Post reports that Spider-Man, which is really 35-year-old Abdel Elzeki, allegedly grabbed Batman, which is really 41-year-old Jose Escalante Martinez.
This is Spanish Batman. Ay caramba! Ay caramba! Robin, it's El Joker.
Yo soy Batman.
Yes.
Yo soy Batman. Me amo Batman.
Que te vas a pupita.
Instead of a bat tumbler or a batmobile, he's got a bat horse.
A bat horse?
Que te vas a pupita.
That's what happens when he pushes it into hyperdrive. Okay, so wait, what actually happened?
All right,
we got a little off track.
The New York Post reports that Spider-Man allegedly grabbed Batman from behind and said, "I'm gonna F you up, Batman." Spider-Man allegedly then sprayed Batman with the fake webbing that he comes with, which is really a prop silly string. Soon enough, punches were then thrown. Spider-Man got the worst of it as he was reportedly socked in the face and chest.
Ooh. Even with his silly string webbing? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that didn't really help him.
That Batman was taking steroids is what it was. Nobody can get through silly string webbing.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com.
To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, jamming out here at night, gotta love it, talking sports, entertainment, odd news, full batch of subjects. It's me, Rich, Mike, over here in the other corner.
Hello. Yes, I'm hiding in the corner.
Yep. Ready to go with another round of topics in our next segment. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
I have lettuce. Yes, three-leaf lettuce going all over the place and just with a touch of lemon. No oil or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Ready to go in the entertainment entree. Before we launch right into it, during my time that I was sick, I also watched another TV show with Bill Cosby.
Okay.
And I don't know why this happened in the history of television, but I would like to present to you Bill Cosby talking about lettuce. Let's play the full clip.
Just made myself a little something to eat.
What have we here?
Yes, we have carrots. And we have the grain bread, you see.
Healthy Oso.
Oh, not only Oso, but in here I have lettuce. Yes, three-leaf lettuce going all over the place and just with a touch of lemon. No oil or anything like that.
Could that's a whole container full of lettuce. Can you eat all that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. My body loves the roughage. Just goes along, roughage, roughage, roughage. And just, look out, colon.
Yeah, all right.
All right, then.
Look out, colon.
Here comes the lettuce.
So, something that came across my perusal of television watching when I was sick. Bill Cosby apparently just loves the lettuce inside his digestive tract.
I guess so, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. My body loves the roughage. Just goes along, roughage, roughage, roughage. And just, look out, colon.
Look out, colon.
Look out, colon.
Bill Cosby, obviously.
So, there you go. I had to play that for you guys. That was so good.
That was interesting. That was interesting.
Mike is like, why the hell did I let him choose the intro sound clip to this segment?
Just made myself a little something to eat.
What have we here?
Yes, we have carrots. And we have the grain bread, you see.
Healthy Oso.
Oh, not only Oso, but in here I have lettuce. Yes, three-leaf lettuce going all over the place and just with a touch of lemon. No oil or anything like that.
Could that's a whole container full of lettuce. Can you eat all that?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. My body loves the roughage. Just goes along, roughage, roughage, roughage. And just, look out, colon.
So
I love that part.
There you go.
Look out, colon.
Look out, colon.
It also says lettuce all over the place. What?
Yeah.
So does this mean he like goes to the break room in between delivering babies and just like spreads lettuce everywhere?
Well, he throws it up into the air and then he has to catch it in his mouth is what it is.
Olé!
Olé, yeah.
Spreads it everywhere.
Lettuce for everyone. I don't like lettuce. Nonsense. Your colon will thank you.
Yes. So there you go. Just a random clip from the Cosby Show. Why not?
It was random. We'll give it that.
So now that we have the random clip out of the way, now we can officially launch into the entertainment entree. And you know what? We'll start off with a kind of a new segment that we've been doing here in the entertainment entree. We're calling it This Week in Entertainment. And it's just to go over what's new in TV, movies, and video games.
That's right. To keep you guys all up to date and aware of the latest entertainment releases. We've picked some of our favorites, some things that we think might be interesting. So to kick things off, we're going to start off with one of a really interesting TV series, actually, premiering on HBO on Friday that features one of our favorite bands, the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait for this. Sonic Highways.
That's right. Yeah, it's a according to what HBO has put out, it is an 8-episode TV documentary series that follows the band creating their latest album by the same name. And I think one episode has been shot in the concept of the album is that they go to 8 different cities and record a song in each city.
Right.
And so the series follows them, one episode for each city and the recording process and I guess how the city has inspired the music. So it sounds like a really cool behind the scenes look into one of what I think is one of the greatest bands right now.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to this album. It's the follow-up to 2011's Wasting Light.
Which is amazing if you've never listened to it.
Yeah, definitely check that out if you love rock music. And I expect Sonic Highways to be no different. I mean, every CD that Foo Fighters and Dave Grohl put out is just from start to finish is worth listening to, and it's just awesome.
Yeah. Also, this TV series will be commemorating their 20th anniversary, apparently.
Yeah. Well, the Foo Fighters, you know, first started off as just Dave Grohl playing all the instruments.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. That's an interesting bit of trivia.
So, I mean, you know, the band members haven't been together for 20 years, but the idea of Foo Fighters and the kind of rock music that Dave Grohl envisioned, that's been around for 20 years.
Right. So, you know, a nice little commemorative TV series. Definitely one to keep your eye to keep your eyes peeled for. This is coming out Friday on HBO. And also, I think the Foo Fighters are releasing a single sometime this week.
Yeah, I believe that will also happen this week. They'll release just a teaser song from the album. The full album, Sonic Highways, will come out November.
That's right. And we'll probably talk about that when that comes out.
Yeah.
Moving right along to the world of movies, though, we have an awesome movie coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, X-Men Days of Future Past. Oh, my gosh. If you guys are fans of Marvel movies, specifically the X-Men movies, this is definitely one to check out. It has both the old X-Men movie cast and the new X-Men movie cast thrown together in a time travel plot. Really, really cool stuff. And I'm going to say one of my favorite X-Men movies that I've seen. It's definitely a treat for fans of both the old series and the new series. So for those of you that missed it in theaters, now's your chance to get it on Blu-ray or DVD. Rich, did you see this in theaters or... Are you not a fan of X-Men?
I mean, I'll see it when it comes on TV, but I usually don't go out to the movie theaters to see it. But I love Patrick Stewart in this role.
Well, Patrick Stewart,
it's like he was born for that role.
Yeah, he really. He's like the only person I could picture as Professor X now.
Right. I don't know if they ever had to recast him. I don't know who would possibly even do it.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine. So there you go, a testament to some of the acting in the movies.
I also think it's funny that Patrick Stewart and Ian
McKellen
are best friends in real life.
They are. They're
But they have to play nemesis in these X-Men movies.
The thing about the X-Men is that Magneto and Professor X were best friends at one point.
Right.
So
it just fits so well.
And you know what? Not to spoil too much, but that dynamic comes back into play in X-Men Days of Future Past.
Ooh.
So that really one to check out if you're a fan of the X-Men or if you're just a fan of Marvel movies, because this one turns the X-Men timeline on its head. Without spoiling too much, it's a time travel plot. So, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
Be prepared.
But in terms of new movies coming out this week, here's an interesting one to look out for. Birdman, kind of flying under the radar. I hadn't heard about it until recently, but apparently it's getting a lot of great early Oscar buzz from the film festivals. It currently holds a 90 out of 100 on Metacritic, and the cast is just phenomenal. It has, if I can remember off the top of my head, Michael Keaton, Zach Galifianakis, Edward Norton, and Emma Stone.
That is
a packed cast, yeah. It's classified as a comedy/drama. The synopsis is a washed-up actor who once played an iconic superhero must overcome his ego and family trouble as he mounts a Broadway play in a bid to reclaim his past glory. So it might be one to check out.
Does it not seem that it seems like it would be a little bit true based on Michael Keaton?
I'm not familiar with Michael Keaton's career, so I don't know. Is it?
Well, yeah, he was the first Batman.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Doesn't it seem a little...
Maybe. You know? A little metafictional, I guess.
Right.
So maybe that's why people love it so much.
Or that's why he gives a great performance in it.
Yeah, but either way, definitely one to check out. That brings an interesting dimension to the movie, I think. I hadn't even considered that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So, yeah, like I said, a lot of the buzz from the film festivals have been saying that it's a major Oscar contender, possibly for a Best Picture nominee. So check that one out this weekend, Birdman, coming to theaters. Finally, to wrap it up, we got some video game news. First, we have Borderlands, the pre-sequel. I love that name.
The pre-sequel.
Right, because it's a sequel to the Borderlands series, but... Wait, did I say it? It's a sequel, but it's a prequel, so it's a pre-sequel. It's very confusing. It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say? Yeah.
yeah,
I don't know what I'm trying to say. What I am trying to say is that it's out right now on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, PC, and Mac. So if you're a fan of Borderlands, definitely go pick it up. Borderlands, of course, brings that crazy balls-to-the-wall gunplay with RPG elements thrown in there. You know, guns with crazy stats and abilities. So it's a blast. Go check out this pre-sequel out now for PlayStation 3 and 360. Also coming out this week, Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 1. This is a game, an episodic game that released way back when on the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, but it's coming out now for the next-gen consoles. It's being released as one big download. And if you are not familiar with Telltale's story-driven, choice-driven games, they are just phenomenal. Every little choice you make, even the small ones, come back and sort of change how the narrative progresses. And it's all character-driven story. It's amazing. Definitely one if you're a fan of story-driven games or of The Walking Dead. So it serves...
Yeah, that's good timing because Walking Dead just had their season premiere this week.
That's right. So, you know, if you can't get enough Walking Dead fix with the TV show... Hop onto the game system and give this a try. Definitely worth trying out. But, you know, with all the fall TV, maybe you're running out of TVs in your home to – or maybe
oh
the
TV – Oh, my God!
Maybe the TV's being taken up, you know, somebody watching TV or doing something. So you can use your PlayStation TV system that's coming out this week. What this is a little streaming box that allows you to stream games from your PlayStation 4 to another TV. It also lets you download and stream PlayStation 3, PlayStation 1, and PlayStation Vita games straight to the device. So this is a really cool thing, you know, streaming PlayStation 4 games to a separate TV. You know, relatively cheap, right around the same price as other streaming boxes at $99. So if you're looking for you know, more PlayStation 4 fix. This is definitely one to check out.
So when you get a PlayStation TV, do you need a PlayStation controller, or does the controller come with it?
Yeah, I think the controller comes with it, I think. Yeah, but any DualShock 3 or DualShock 4 controller works with it as well. So this is really good for people that already have a system. Or if you don't have a system, like I said, you can download PlayStation 3, PlayStation 1, and PlayStation Vita games directly to the box. Of course, memory cards are an extra expense, but still a cheaper option than buying a whole new system.
Well, that's a very interesting alternative if you're looking to kind of get your feet wet into the next-gen systems.
Definitely, definitely. And that wraps up this week in entertainment, all the new releases and buzz surrounding the entertainment world.
All right, so that's a couple things to look forward to in TV, movies, and video games. Let's get to some news headlines in the entertainment world. And the first one has to do with Netflix, something that I used a lot when I was sick.
Yeah. Netflix just continues to really push for this original programming. And the latest push they're making is not into TV series, but into movies. Netflix has announced recently that they've inked a deal with Adam Sandler to exclusively premiere 4 Adam Sandler movies on the service.
Today, Junior?
Yep, Adam Sandler. Very famous for Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Saturday Night Live skits.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, a ton of them. I can't.
Big Daddy.
Big
Mr.
Daddy,
Deeds.
That's one of my favorites, yeah.
Yeah, he had a lot of great hits.
A lot of really good, funny movies, and also some dramatic ones. I don't know if you've ever seen Love. I can't remember. I think it's Love Rain Over Me. Or Rain Over Me.
Did, what, Spanglish?
And Spanglish, too. Yeah, so a couple of dramas in there. So, I don't know. This is an interesting prospect. Adam Sandler striking this deal. Now, I've read some of the comments on the articles, and some are saying, oh, you know, is it true? This is where, you know, bad actors and bad movies go to die is on Netflix. Or could this be a resurgent for Adam Sandler's, not that his career needs a resurgence, but could this be a way to branch out and do something different for him?
Well, I mean, critically, his career does need a resurgence.
That's true. Critically, it does.
I mean, his last couple of movies have tanked.
Yeah. What was the one? Can't remember. Jack and Jill.
Oh, God.
I think Al Pacino was in it, Rich.
Yes.
Did you watch it because of Al Pacino?
I saw the bits that he was in.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What am I going to do? It's my boy, Al. I got to support him.
Well, I have to admit.
I got to support Al.
I have to admit.
Hoo-ha!
Yes, I had to admit that hoo-ha, but.
Hoo-ha!
But, no, I have watched like a third of the movie, and it was just awful. Was not funny, entertaining. I couldn't even pretend that it was entertaining.
Yeah.
It was really bad. So back to the Netflix deal. Is this a good idea for Netflix? Is this a good idea for Adam Sandler?
To be honest with you, I don't understand how exactly Netflix is going to be like exclusively premiering the movies.
Well, it's just like House of Cards.
I mean, yeah, is it going to be just like House of Cards where
they're going to make a movie and it comes out on Netflix? You can't see it anywhere else.
And Netflix does all the promotions and everything for it?
I guess. Well,
I don't know.
They've been able to do it with House of Cards and Orange is the New Black and Arrested Development and, you know, some other stuff. I mean, there definitely is a precedent for it. It's not completely unheard of.
I don't know. I think it's going to depend on what these movies are and how Adam Sandler fits into them.
Well, I think they're going to have to be low-budget films.
It can't be the same shtick. We're getting sick and tired of this.
Yeah,
you know, outlandish comedy.
I think it doesn't
fit anymore.
No, it doesn't fit anymore. And I think Adam Sandler needs to branch out and do something new. And I think that might be why he's looking to Netflix, because his movies are really commercially successful at the box office, but they're really bad movies.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, he used to put out what I would call, you know, really funny movies, decent movies. You know, not the best, but they were always very entertaining. And I think over the past couple of years, he's really been struggling to capture that again. And maybe Netflix is a way for him to not take so big of a risk with Hollywood, because making any movie in Hollywood is a big task. You know, I think he might have some more freedom doing it for Netflix than with Hollywood. So I guess that freedom, maybe, you know, it's not as big of an expense. It's not as much risk where he feels he has to conform to what people expect of him. Maybe we'll get, you know, a hidden gem like Click. Remember Click?
Yeah, Click was good.
That was a really good one. So maybe we'll see more, you know, family-oriented comedies out of Adam Sandler on Netflix. I think it's a good home for that type of stuff.
He should do another drama. See if he can pull off a dramatic role again.
This would be perfect for a really low budget, simple drama.
Yeah,
I think. You know,
why not?
Like I said, it doesn't have the risk of Hollywood. If a movie premieres at the box office and flops, you know, that's hundreds of millions of dollars. But if a movie premieres on Netflix, it doesn't suffer the same fate, I don't think.
No. And so, you get a cult following, too.
That's right. Exactly. And Netflix lends itself to being watched over and over and over again. Anytime. You know, it's not just in theaters for those couple of months. It's online forever.
Well, until Netflix has to remove it or something.
Well, that's the thing. These are Netflix's movies, though. So yeah. they don't have to remove it.
Right.
So, you know, this can go on for as long as possible. I just think it's a really interesting concept and a really interesting prospect for both parties involved.
I just hope Adam Sandler doesn't put out four of the same outrageous comedy movies.
Right.
Please
don't do that. That's the worry right there. That's the risk, is that he's going to come out and put up four Jack and Jills or four grown-up twos.
Ugh.
You know, I haven't seen Grown-Up 2, so I can't speak to it, but I heard it wasn't the best.
Yeah, I didn't even really like Grown-Ups 1.
Yeah, Grown-Up, well, I mean, there were a couple of funny moments, but all in all, it wasn't that great.
Right.
So, you know, here's hoping that, you know, Adam Sandler will take this opportunity and really try and reinvent himself a little bit.
Today, Junior?
Yeah.
That's what we're asking, you know, come on. But Netflix has said that the earliest movie could land sometime in 2015, so really not that far off.
Well, that's a very fast turnaround, considering we're at the end of 2014, essentially.
Yeah, right. Which, to me, again, suggests it's probably going to be a small... It might be a small, low-budget drama.
Hmm.
Or a small, low-budget, like, indie comedy, quirky comedy.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that, as Adam Sandler will exclusively premiere four movies for Netflix.
All right. So, transitioning from the big screen to the small screen, we have some programming news for AMC now, one of the best networks on television, I think, you know, probably right behind HBO, maybe in front of HBO, depending on who you ask. AMC, of course, the home of hit shows like Mad Men, Breaking Bad, The Walking Dead. I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two on there. They are just phenomenal in that scripted drama category. Which is why AMC announced that they will be canceling the majority of their unscripted series.
I.e. reality TV shows.
Yes.
It's for the best.
It is for the best. And the interesting thing about this announcement is it's all their current reality shows and all their in-production and future reality shows. So everything that has been greenlit or has been, you know, in the process of production, they said screw it. They're just scrapping them.
Well, they really should. I mean,
but I mean,
they had some ridiculous reality shows.
Game of Arms is an arm wrestling reality show.
There's no need.
There's no need.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what TV executive said. You know what? There is a big niche for arm wrestling.
Yeah. And the arm wrestling dollar.
And got the show greenlit. Yeah. You know, forget the 18 to 49 demographic. We need to channel the 55 and over arm wrestling community.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put me in a cage with that S.O.B. Please put me in a cage. A cage. A cage. I'm gonna strangle you.
Maybe if you had promos like Ric Flair, all right,
maybe
you could catch on. But no.
But yeah, no, this is for the best. I just think it's interesting to take such a bold step to cancel in-production reality shows. I mean, think about what that means. That means they're flushing their money down the toilet. But I guess they're in a position where they don't care. They've got Breaking Bad, Mad Men, Walking Dead.
Well, you know? Hold on. Wait, hold on. Breaking Bad has ended. Well, Mad Men is going to end in the beginning of 2015.
But they're still reaping benefits probably from DVD sales, and I'm sure they have deals with online streaming. You know, I'm sure they're still making money on those franchises somehow.
Mm. But so you think they could just run with those series?
Well, here's the other thing, and I know this is a concern of yours, is that after the reality TV leaves the airwaves, AMC is down to 7 shows.
Yeah.
That's it.
They don't have a whole lot.
Right. And the big thing is that 3 of those shows, the only 2 reality shows they're keeping are The Talking Dead, which is a really good talk show after The Walking Dead, and Comic Book Men, which is sort of interesting if you're into pop slash geek culture. And both of those shows premiere right after The Walking Dead. So you have Walking Dead, Talking Dead, Comic Book Men. That leaves 4 shows for the other 6 days of the week. I don't know what else. What else are they going to fill their airtime with?
Movies.
Just movies all the time?
And re-airing Mad Men and Breaking Bad.
Well, they could. People might watch.
I know they do for Breaking Bad.
They do. They ran like a whole marathon over the summer, I think.
Yeah. And they still do it right now. Like they do like Rewind Saturday or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So I guess are they really, they're going to fill the time with reruns, I guess, of Mad Men and Breaking Bad?
For the time being, I guess. Because right now, their other shows really haven't picked up any steam. I mean,
Turn, the revolutionary spy drama.
I tried it. I did too. I thought it was going to be a good show, but
it just didn't grip me the way that Breaking Bad and Walking Dead did.
Right.
And Halt and Catch Fire is really an interesting concept about the technology boom in the 80s. You know, one of the episodes actually deals with the presentation of Apple's 1984 ad, which was a huge turning point in personal computers. But the problem with that series is that the main characters are so illogical and so they're just not very well written. And so, yeah. Again, it's just okay.
The lead character in that show is essentially Don Draper, just in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he knows a little bit about computers.
Yeah. But my problem with that character is that he unnecessarily creates conflict, because the thing is, there's no conflict coming from the characters. The character creates unnecessary conflict just for the sake of conflict. Like burning a shipment of computers that would have sold very well and made them a lot of money. Like there's no reason to do that. So it's so completely contrived. But anyway, that aside, getting back to the main issue here, AMC, they're running out of shows.
Yeah, they're going to be down to nothing.
Yeah, I mean, right now, all they really have, you know, because Mad Men is wrapping up, right? This is
right,
its final season.
Yeah, it ends 2015. Beginning of 2015.
So after that, it's just, I mean, really, The Walking Dead as its headlining show.
That will still be producing new content.
Right. And I mean, you know, it's drawing in 17, 18 million viewers a week, which is great. But you can't live off of one show, you know, as a major cable network.
Yeah.
I mean, HBO has done a good job of diversifying its content. And, you know, they're probably, you know, the best or second best network, depending on how you want to look at it. So what do you think about AMC? You think we're going to see a refreshed push for more original scripted dramas from them?
They have to. They got to find some new shows that are going to be able to take the place of some of these shows that are leaving the airwaves.
Do you think they have some in the pipeline, maybe?
I hope so.
Do you think this is leading up to an announcement, maybe?
I hope so. Because, I mean,
They do have the Breaking Bad spinoff, Better Call Saul.
Yeah, Better
which
Call Saul
is going to be amazing. I can't wait. I hope it's good.
But I mean, other than that, and Walking Dead, yeah, they're going to need some new content.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, here's my worry is that the 2 series that they attempted after the incredible boom of Mad Men, Breaking Bad, and Walking Dead, the Holy Trinity. You know, the 2 series, Turn and Halt and Catch Fire, that they attempted after those after the Holy Trinity have kind of been lackluster. Mm-hmm. So is this maybe, you know, them trying to right the ship with their scripted dramas and put more effort, more funding, more resources into those than they have with, you know, previous attempts?
I think so. Because AMC's bread and butter has been scripted drama, not reality TV.
Yeah, isn't that their slogan? Or is that TNT? We know drama.
That's TNT.
Is that TNT? Okay, so maybe AMC doesn't know drama. But no, you're right. Their bread and butter has been scripted dramas for the past decade.
Yeah. So put all of your efforts towards that instead of this little gimmick that you did with these reality TV shows that suck.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to see a fresh commitment to the scripted dramas.
There was another one that they had for advertising. They called it The Pitch. No.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That seems up your alley though. You like Mad Men.
Yeah, but part of the charm of Mad Men is the culture.
Right.
The 60s era and the 60s culture.
Yeah,
that
nobody
it's in.
Likes the nobody, 2010s no, culture.
Yeah, nobody likes the advertising of today.
I hate the culture of today.
Yeah. What? Ooh, quick. It's a contest.
ShamWow.
It's the contest. You have to design a pop-up ad in 30 seconds. Go.
Oh, my God.
No, I don't care about that.
And at
that.
The end of the contest, both developers are shot.
Yeah. That sucks.
That fucking sucked.
Yeah. No, nobody cares about that.
Actually, that might be, you know, you're saying that. I'm thinking it might be interesting to see the evilness that goes into creating pop-up ads. Really, who is the Satan that devised that type of advertisement?
I am the Satan's number proclaimer. No, that's not me.
Although
I hate pop-up ads.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that I'm complaining about them. I haven't seen an ad online in like years because I use Adblock, which is
the
best thing ever. Yeah, and I love websites now that are saying, we notice you use Adblock. And I'll be like, yeah, and?
Reddit does that.
Well, I will say this. I have disabled Adblock on Reddit because Reddit is awesome and their ads don't interfere with the user experience.
Okay.
But every other website, it pops up this automatically playing video. And it's like, why?
Oh, I hate the automatically playing video.
Auto-playing videos are the scourge of the earth. The internet, rather.
Yeah, whoever came up with that should be taken out and shot and drawn and quartered. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Rich Liebig.
Wow.
The thing that pisses me off.
Yeah, pisses me off.
Just crucify him. String him up.
But if you're going to be a prick to everybody.
Yeah, you know, just anybody who came up with the development of the automatic video playing ad. Yep, sorry. You go to the firing squad.
No, I completely agree. But so we were talking about AMC, I think.
Yeah, whoops.
Oh, so yeah, AMC is preemptively canceling all of its current and future reality TV shows in favor of more scripted dramas. So,
I don't think we're losing much.
No, we're not losing much at all.
Arm wrestling.
In fact, I think we're gaining something. I like the fact that they're recommitting to the scripted drama.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll see better attempts than Turn and Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah. Which is a shame because they could have had potential.
They are really high potential shows, but they just... Maybe it is an issue of resources.
It might be.
Yeah.
So there you go there with interesting news coming from AMC. All right. And there you go. That is our entertainment entree for this episode. But do not go anywhere. Do you know what's next, Mike?
Oh, it's only the wildest, wackiest, craziest segment ever. We have the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News coming up.
Oh, yeah. So I got your weekly dose of odd news, crazy true stories. Do not go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss it. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name, selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide, thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, inexpensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking out late at night, and coming up, it's one of our favorite parts of the show. Definitely Mike looks forward to this part of the show, isn't that right?
Oh my gosh, it's got to be one of my favorite segments. It's the wild, the wacky, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
In your face, ha ha!
Yeah, time to go in your face.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
And sometimes
what are we
go
doing?
There,
so. What are we doing to people's faces again?
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Sometimes that might happen.
Well, wow. Well, anyway, so for those of you that don't know, here in the Non-Fortune Cookie Odd News, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I have no idea what he has. He's hidden these stories from me, kept them secret and safe. So my reactions are my gut reactions, my actual first time hearing these stories. So it's always a surprise for me, for the listeners, and for Rich, because we never know what's going to come out of these stories. I think 2 weeks ago we sang Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, I was not expecting Phantom of the Opera 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, now I can't promise another musical performance because, you know, it's very taxing on the vocal cords. But
happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
Give me my juice box. I need my juice box. I say, give me it now.
I forgot about that one.
We have been known to break into song on this podcast, haven't we?
Rich Liebig, Rich Liebig. Ooh, a little Rich Liebig now. I sing about myself, apparently.
Oh my God. Every time I think about it, all the times we've actually sung on this podcast, it makes me laugh. Because, I mean, there's tons that we've done that aren't clips, like Flock of Taxis. And yeah. That's a reference. Oh boy. Anyway.
That's in our Best Of show, isn't it? Oh no, it's in the Best Of the Odd News.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So many great moments. They get confused, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, let's dive into the odd news, Rich. What do we got to kick off this week?
All right, let's launch into this story here. You know what? The headline in this story says it all.
Okay.
24-year-old Daniela Liverani of Edinburgh, Scotland. Sorry. 24-year-old Daniela Liverani of Edinburgh, Scotland, discovered a 3-inch leech in her nose when she had a runny nose last week.
Oh my God, that's awful.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
And of course, I'm reading this story the week after I got sick, so oh yeah.
3 inches
this is making me feel good.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
3 inches is not particularly big, but when you imagine your nose,
yeah,
and 3 inches, like, that's enormous for your nose.
Yep.
How do you not feel that?
When the Edinburgh woman began experiencing nosebleeds while traveling for a month in Vietnam, she thought she must have just bursted a blood vessel like normal people. The incident was investigated further when she fell off of a motorcycle.
How does that lead? Oh man, let me check your nose after falling off of that motorcycle.
She would sometimes see something sticking out of her nostril, but she thought it was just congealed blood.
So why wouldn't you try to remove it? Oh, it's just congealed blood. I'll leave it. It's a fashion statement.
It it's a fashion statement.
Really, if you notice congealed, quote unquote, congealed blood on your nose, and you just go, oh, it's fine. You don't try and like wipe it away or, you know, like pick it out or something.
Trying to make a statement.
I mean, what other reason would she have for just leaving it there?
Well, this congealed blood accessorizes very well with my purse.
It's the latest.
Matches my purse.
What color's your purse? Blood red?
Yeah.
This is the Dracula fashion. It's the new fall thing.
Oh my god.
It's fall color.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Hashtag congealed blood selfie. Hashtag matching accessories.
I was wondering where that one was going. I was like, okay.
Hashtag no filter.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
I hate that hashtag.
If you have to point out.
If you have to specify, yeah, really. Come on.
If you have to point out the fact that you didn't use a filter, just don't mention it.
All these fake photographers out there.
But first, let me take a selfie.
Yeah.
So all of her selfies from her trip to Vietnam were ruined because of this congealed blood slash leech crawling across her face out of her nose that she didn't notice.
Liverani said that when she would see the congealed blood hanging out, she would sniff it back up.
Why would you? Why would you sniff it back up?
No, God! No, God! Please, no! 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 No!
Look, all right, so the fact that she's actively sniffing a leech back up into her nose, that's really gross. But even if she did think it was a, congealed blood, congealed blood, why would you sniff that back up into your nose? Either one of those things.
Sounds like the worst, like, episode of Fear Factor ever. Do you want to sniff?
Snort this leech.
Or congealed blood.
Yeah.
Which one do you want?
You have to drink a gallon of cow's blood or snort a leech. Fear Factor.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Fear Factor was a fun show. That was so dumb.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
you have to eat the goat penis. What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
This for how much did they win? Like $10,000.
Yeah, it was only for like $10,000.
You get a Big Mac.
You have to finish in a minute on the net zero countdown clock.
What?
I watched a couple episodes of Fear Factor recently.
Yeah. Is it still on?
Yeah, sometimes they'll re-air it on like Game Show Network or one of these like not Spike. Spike's not a channel anymore. But whatever.
It's not.
Yeah, it changed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Whatever the new channel is that took its place, they'll replay it at like 2 a.m. or something, like these old episodes.
Right.
And it's funny to see like the old companies that would do the sponsorship.
And Net Zero was
one of them.
Oh my gosh.
The Net Zero countdown clock.
Oh man, that's crazy.
the Juno counter. All these companies don't exist anymore. It's great.
Oh, so anyway, leeches. Oh,
yeah, getting back to what?
So how did she discover that it was actually a leech?
A few days after she returned to Scotland, she looked in the mirror to examine the inside of her nose and realized that it was not a blood clot. It was, in fact, a 3-inch-long leech about as wide as her thumb.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine. That is an enormous leech to be stuck in your nose.
Yep.
Well, I don't know how big her nose is. I mean, you know.
Still not good.
Still not good.
Luckily, doctors at Edinburgh's Royal Infirmary were able to pull the leech out successfully.
What was she doing in Vietnam that she got a leech in her nose?
Sniffing animals? I don't know.
Sniffing animals? Where do you think leeches come from?
I don't know.
The underside of cows? Smell that udder. I think leeches come from like river water, so that means she must have been like swimming in some like dirty river, dunking her head in there, or oh my gosh,
she went in the wrong river.
Maybe.
Ugh. Well, there you
anyway,
go.
So
3-inch leech right up the nose.
So lesson is congealed blood or leech. Don't suck it. Don't sniff it back up. Get it out of there.
Yeah, blow your nose. Come on.
Yeah. Why do we need to tell people to blow their nose? Oh my gosh.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, we're continuing the theme of creepy organisms. A Missouri couple is facing a web of legal troubles after their home was infested by 6,000 venomous spiders.
Oh my God. No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 Oh, fuck, dang it!
I hate bugs, especially spiders. 6,000? What were they doing? Why do they have this many spiders?
All right, well, unfortunately, we have to follow the story of the Torst family.
Okay.
It's a weird name, the Torst.
The Torst are the worst. Yeah. Worst. Well, I tried to rhyme it, but I failed.
They've got bad luck here. The Torst bought this Weldon Spring Country Club home, which overlooks a golf course, in 2007. But they haven't been able to live in the house for years because of this massive infestation of brown recluse spiders.
Oh my, aren't they like the deadliest spider ever?
They're not deadly, but they're very very poisonous and they hurt.
Are you sure? I think they're pretty deadly. Either way, it does not sound good.
No, it doesn't sound good. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper reports that Susan Torst noticed the spiders shortly after her husband bought the house. The newspaper reports, quote, "She saw spiders and their webs every day. They were in the blinds, the air registers, the pantry, the ceiling, the fireplace. Their exoskeletons would fall from light fixtures."
Ugh.
"One time she was showering and she had to dodge a spider as it fell from the ceiling."
Oh my God.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah, at that point, just napalm the house.
Kill it with fire.
Yeah, all right, this is not cool.
Oh, my God, this story is actually very disturbing.
According to the same newspaper, locals have called the house the Spider House.
Oh, my gosh. It's not good when your house has a nickname.
Yeah.
Any nickname. If your house has a nickname, don't buy the house.
Yep. So they've been going back and forth with their insurance company to seek damages done to the house. But unfortunately, these spiders just aren't going anywhere. Numerous exterminators have been brought in, but the spiders somehow still find a way to live and keep coming back to that same house.
Yeah, at that point, really, just burn it down.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, if they've had exterminators come out and there's still 6,000 spiders there, either they have the worst exterminators or the house itself has become a mother spider.
Yeah, just kill it with fire.
And then next week we'll have an odd news story about them swinging a towel lit on fire and burning down their house.
Which we've had that story.
Twice, I think.
Yeah,
we've had stories where people try to kill bugs with fire. You know? Yeah. In this case, it's acceptable, though.
Yeah, kill it with fire. We're encouraging it.
One bug, no. 6,000, yes. Burn it. Burn it all.
According to local biologists, brown recluse spider bites are very painful and can be very serious, but they are not fatal. So there you go. Still something you don't want to deal with, though.
Yeah, no. First, spiders are just creepy. Oh, hate bugs.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's move away from bugs. What else do we got?
All right, let's move on to some. Drug stories here. Why not?
Okay. You say that so casually.
Feel better.
We're going to be talking about stories now.
Come on, guys.
Come on.
Hey, gang. Let's feel better with a good old-fashioned drug story.
Bitch. Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad, yep. Now I get the reference.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do this one here. A couple of high snitches didn't have to... too many S's in it. A couple of high snitches didn't have a stitch to wear, but that didn't stop them from helping police to locate their alleged dealer. In fact, they were looking for him, too. Residents of Trinity, Texas, called the cops last week after they saw a random naked woman running around their neighborhood knocking on doors. Trinity police responded and found the woman. When she was confronted by the police, she then climbed up a tree.
Of course.
Why not?
Because, yeah, it's so easy to get out of the tree after the cops are surrounding it.
Help me finish my ultimate form!
Yeah, going up the tree.
Why do people think you climb the tree and they'll just leave you?
Go away.
Go away. Oh, well, Bob, she's in the tree, so looks like we're going to have to close this case.
According to local radio outlets, officers tried to coax the woman down from the tree. When they did that...
Just throw rocks at her.
Throw rocks at her?
I mean, you're not going to coax her down. She's on drugs. She's naked. She's hiding from you. Nothing you say will convince her to come down.
No, I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
You're going to get that response.
Yeah, but if they had thrown one rock, if they had a trampoline and they had just thrown a rock, all this would be over. All
right, well, as the officers were trying to coax the woman down from the tree, they received a call about another naked person in the area.
What?
And it turns out that was the woman's boyfriend.
Ah, okay. Now it makes sense.
Oh, isn't that sweet? They were doing it together.
Well, you hope so. I mean...
Come on, honey. Let's be naked and get high on drugs.
Go screw other people.
The couple admitted that they had taken some drugs and that they had been searching for their drug dealer.
Some? Just some.
Just some.
They're tearing around town with no clothes on, climbing trees, and fleeing just from some. The cops. But just some.
Yeah. Sheriff Woody Wallace told the local radio station, the couple said that they didn't know the drug dealer's name, but they had been texting him. I said, well, text him again. Police were then able to follow the couple when they met the drug dealer, and they traded for some meth.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
That's appropriate because they were in their birthday suit.
Yeah, exactly. Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. That's the official meth dealer song. They have to sing that when dealing the meth.
Yeah. That, boy, Breaking Bad would be a much different show if they had to sing that every time they had to exchange the meth.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth. I could just see Bryan Cranston doing that on rollerblades.
The naked couple assisted in the bust with the drug dealer. So they were let go because they were cooperative and did not pose a danger to public officials.
So there you go. If you're going to do drugs, at least cooperate with the cops.
Yeah, it's or, you know, on your dealer.
Or don't do drugs. Maybe that's the better advice.
Yeah, that would probably be better. But hey, if you get caught naked, help out the police.
Help out the police, yeah. Put on some pants, then help the police.
Yeah.
Did they help out the police while still naked? Did this whole process go down and they're just like completely unclothed for the entire thing?
Probably not, but you know what?
It didn't specify.
It didn't specify. Maybe they did.
So you're saying there's still a chance.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. We're going to Guam in this one. Yeah. We usually don't go to Guam.
I don't think we've ever been to Guam.
Yeah. A masked gunman in Guam apologized to two employees of a small casino and hugged and kissed them before he threatened them and then fleed with more than $5,000 in stolen cash.
Okay.
So he's a remorseful thief.
Yeah.
Aw. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to steal. What'd he steal?
$5,000.
Oh, my gosh.
The man, wearing a camouflage baseball cap on top of a black ski mask, entered the Lucky Land gambling room Wednesday night with a silver handgun, sending between 6 to 8 customers scrambling for the exits. A video shows the gunman approaching the office window where 23-year-old Genevieve Santos was working with her boyfriend, 24-year-old Juan Olivares, who was hanging out with her. The masked man then demanded money. The footage shows him stuffing cash into a black bag before demanding access directly to the office. She said, if we don't open the door, he would shoot at us, so we had no choice. When he walked inside, he continued to grab cash and then took both of their wallets, which contained an extra $200. Santos said that the girl couldn't stop crying, which prompted the bandit to wrap both him and the couple in a group hug.
Aww.
That's so sweet.
That is sweet.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. We'll get through this together. Now give me all your money or I'm going to blow your brains out.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Just hand over the money.
It'll only hurt for a second and then you'll die. So give me the money.
Then he kissed the man on the back of the neck.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Are you dipping into the erotic fan fiction? Odd News again?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Why?
Okay. Yeah. It's very, very odd.
And then kissed the girl on the forehead. Oh, being so soothing.
Why the neck?
Yeah, that's really creepy.
The forehead makes sense, but the back of the neck?
Yeah.
Was the guy like creepily standing behind him? It's like, it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
It's actually audio from the event.
Yeah. They have video. We have the audio.
Oh, baby, you're in trouble. Into the dungeon you go.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as D's nuts.
Oh, my gosh. This crook. See, he's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He also just needs a lot of money, too.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
Right before he left, he told them, quote, I'm sorry that you two had to be the ones working. Oh, he even apologized. Oh,
man.
That's nice. More crooks should be like him.
Yeah, come on.
Be a little more considerate to the people you hold up.
Yeah, you know, apologize to them before you steal and murder them.
Also, on a random note, the robber left the man's ID and $7.
Okay.
I guess he felt bad.
Maybe he thought, after this robbery, this guy will be stressed out, so he'll want to go and grab a burger, so I'll leave him $7.
Just enough for, a Whopper meal at Burger King.
Yeah, you know, that's the perfect post-robbery coping mechanism.
So there you go, an actual thief consoled victims with hugs and kisses while he was robbing them.
Restores my faith in humanity.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. And where was this again?
Guam.
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 See, they raise them right in Guam. If you're going to steal from someone, at least kiss them on the back of the neck.
Yeah.
Where are we at in society today?
Yeah, come on.
Apparently you're standing behind them, kissing them on the back of the neck. That's where we are in society.
Yeah, come on. If you're going to rob me, at least kiss me.
Is that your official stance?
Yeah, all right.
You're going to get a lot of creepy burglars, Rich.
Jeez, give me a hug. Console me at least. God damn it.
You got to help us. You got to help us through the process, you know? You can't just come up and start stealing from me without, helping me along.
Be considerate.
Yeah. Damn it.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right. Well, no one. Oh, wait. Actually, I got to preface this. I keep forgetting this.
Okay.
Yep. Let me just double check here. Yeah, this is it. All right, it's time for our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
I know this is our Florida story, but we're actually dealing with a New England Patriots fan in this story.
Okay.
How do you like that?
Wow. So we have two states in one.
Yep, but it is in Florida.
Oh my gosh.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So a New England Patriots fan?
Yep.
In Florida.
Yep.
Okay.
No one can say Victor Thompson is not a Tom Brady fan because he has the helmet of the New England Patriots quarterback tattooed on his head.
Oh, that's dumb.
Yep.
That's really dumb.
And to make things even more interesting, he was arrested last week for the possession of spice, which is a synthetic marijuana drug that is illegal in Florida.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Since he was taken to the local jail, he had a mugshot that showed all four sides of his unique tattoo.
Oh, my gosh.
And it is everywhere on his head.
So does he actually have, like, it's tattooed like he's wearing the helmet?
Yeah.
Oh, that is so dumb.
46-year-old Victor Thompson was busted for possession of spice, also known as Master Kush. I don't know if that's any reference to anything. It kind of sounds like Iron Sheik.
Maybe.
He's okay. Better than nothing.
Oh, that's his review of it.
He's okay. Better than nothing.
Thank you. Thank you, Iron Sheik. The suspect told police that he had purchased the Master Kush from a black male for $15 at a downtown park in Florida, in St. Petersburg, Florida. He told the cops he did not know the drug was illegal in Florida, claimed that that to him it was still legal in his home state of New Hampshire from where he had moved. But New Hampshire banned the sale of the same drug in 2012. So that excuse didn't fly.
Yeah. You got to double check your drug laws, people.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, do your homework.
Now, the actual tattoo, if you're interested in this.
Yeah.
The tattoos include Brady's number, which is 12.
Right.
The American flag, the NFL logos, the Patriots logos, a small green dot to indicate a helmet that, if real, would have the headset that allows Brady to hear the plays from his coaches.
That's dedication right there.
Yeah.
Attention to detail, people.
Yep. Then on the top of his head, he has a recreation image of the Vince Lombardi trophy and ink replicas of the signatures of Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, and Randy Moss.
That
Randy Moss was probably a bad idea. Yeah. He hasn't played for the Patriots in quite some time.
I mean, tattoos, you really got to make sure you're committed to whatever you're getting a tattoo of.
Yeah.
You know, because Randy Moss only played, like, what, 2 years there?
Yeah.
Don't get names. Names are a bad idea.
Thompson got all the tattoo work done in 2008 after the Patriots finished the regular season undefeated.
But they lost that year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was the, 18-1?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, was it 18-1 or 19-1?
Whatever.
Something like
it was.
That. I can't remember.
But the important thing was and one.
Yeah.
Again, and one.
Yeah, we
should get a sponsorship here.
We should. We mentioned
Bruno,
it so much.
Bruno, look into this.
Yes, we command you.
Yeah, come on.
Go. Away with you.
Yes.
Mush, my associate producer.
Yeah.
He's like a reindeer. Up, up, and away.
On Bruno.
Just galloping around. Oh.
Well, there you go.
So he got the whole, I mean, it was even more than just like helmet stuff. It was like signatures and Lombardi trophy, and that's just ridiculous. He must look like a mess.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. Wow. Wow.
He has been charged with felony drug possession and trespassing. He's being held for a $1,500 bond. So there you go. And also, since he has so many tattoos, it's actually four separate mugshots he had to take.
Wow.
Because they have to take a picture of all your identifying features.
Right, yeah. And so, tattoos are identifying features.
And they're all on his head.
I love the fact that he got the signatures. Where did he get them? On the top of his head, you said?
Yeah.
Why? That seems like such a bad idea.
Boy, does that scream, I don't want a job.
Yeah. The saddest part is that Wes Welker and Randy Moss don't even play for the team anymore.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, well.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. This one's crazy. Authorities say that a disgruntled employee decided to commandeer a train from a northeast Wyoming coal mine and then plowed it into another train before he was apprehended.
Why? What was his goal? Was he trying to steal like a load of coal?
Police say that the 22-year-old man faces preliminary charges that include reckless endangering and felony destruction. The incident began Thursday morning at the North Antelope Rochelle mine when the employee became upset with a supervisor over his working conditions in the mine. The employee decided to run off, unhook some cars from a train, and then drive the locomotive off the mine property and onto an actual main railroad line.
Oh, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah. Luckily, no one was injured in the crash. The crash was very intense, and no injuries were reported.
Well, that's good. I mean, that could have been really bad.
Yeah.
That could have been, like, catastrophic. But did his working conditions improve since he made this bold statement?
I don't think so. It won't in jail.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
A Grand Theft train.
Well, he was playing too much Grand Theft Auto is what he was doing.
Can you steal a train in Grand Theft Auto?
You do in one of the missions.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
You do. You literally steal a train.
So he was just recreating his favorite video game.
Yeah, you know, that's no big deal. Everybody does that, right?
Yeah, come on.
Steals a train. That's ballsy right there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to steal this massive locomotive filled with industrial machinery.
That'll show them.
Yeah, that'll teach them.
Look, I understand taking a break from work. Like, you know, you go get in your car and you drive around. Maybe you clear your head.
Yeah.
A train, you can't do that.
I'm going to do a few laps around the block with this train. Choo-choo.
Mike, I need to get away. I just need to get away for, like, an hour.
Put down choo-choo. The railroad. Yeah, put down the railroad crossing.
Yeah. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, and this one's actually a local story.
Oh, no.
In New Jersey.
Okay, so it's over in Jersey.
In Jersey, yep. A New Jersey library's new wall engraving was meant to read, "We confirm all things twice," but instead, actual translation is...
"We are firm."
What? We are firm.
Yeah, well, you say we confirm things twice? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it was supposed to supposed to read. Instead, it translates to "we second guess all."
Oh, that's the exact opposite
yeah.
of what they were trying to say.
The engraving, designed to cap off a decade of construction at the Moorestown Township Library, was chosen by the architect and town leadership, but residents performing online translations of the phrase soon pointed out that the Latin "nos secundas consciento omnia" translates to "we second guess all" instead of what they intended, "we confirm things twice."
Did they not have access to Google Translate?
Yeah.
This seems like a really simple thing. Like, if you're going to be making something in a different language, you know, why wouldn't they do, you know, their homework and figure out what it actually means?
In addition, the engraving also bears the Roman numerals for 1653 instead of 1853, which was the year the library group was formed.
They literally got everything wrong.
Yeah. This engraving company sucks.
And they put it up in a foster home instead of the library. Oh, my gosh.
Well, this library was founded in 1653.
Before books were. No, there were books at that point, I think.
Were libraries formed then?
I don't know. Well, yeah, there were libraries formed because... Oh, no, I can't remember. During the Middle Ages, one library got, like, burnt to the ground in, I can't remember what city now. Ah. But, no, libraries were definitely...
All right, history major right
yeah,
here.
No, it was ancient. I didn't really focus much on ancient history. But, anyway. What?
I'm a history major.
There's different focuses, Rich.
I'm a history major, but I don't really know ancient history.
There's different
focuses. I know more recent history. I know what happened yesterday.
Recent history is a thing, all right? It's called the modern era. But no, libraries were a thing because they would have scrolls and tomes of different texts and handwritten materials and stuff.
All right. I'm an expert on modern history. How about that?
Modern history is a thing, Rich. Anyway. But yeah, so this library is just wrong with everything.
Yeah.
Or the engraving company, rather.
Yeah, it's the engraving company. Yeah.
Did the library get a refund?
Or
are they just going to stick with it? Our library has now been founded in 1653.
We're going from our 150th anniversary to our 350th anniversary. What?
It makes it much more impressive.
Yeah.
So, you know, think of it that way.
Architect Rick Reagan, who was in charge of the project, said that his firm will fix the error for free. I hope so.
Yeah, idiot. Really?
If you want to have any credibility to your name.
They literally didn't get any part of their job right.
Yeah.
They got the entire thing wrong. Not like a little tiny misspelling or a weird punctuation, but the entire thing. The date, the saying, everything. That's really disappointing.
Yeah, I can't wait for like a kid to walk up and be like, wow, this library was founded before Washington was born. Yeah, 70 seconds.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Just double checking.
Or unlike, second guessing.
Yeah, unlike what this library was supposed to do.
Yeah.
These engravers were supposed to do. Jeez. Not that hard.
You know what I just realized? What? I love the fact that the saying is, we confirm things twice. The engravers didn't confirm anything once.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's ironic.
Yep. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, and this one has to do with the great country known as Ukraine.
I'm not beaten yet. I still have armies in the Ukraine.
The Ukraine. You know what the Ukraine is? It's a sitting duck. A road apple, Newman. The Ukraine is weak. It's feeble. I think it's time to put the hurt on the Ukraine.
I come from Ukraine. You not say Ukraine weak?
Yeah, well, we're playing a game here, pal.
Ukraine has came to you? How about I take your little Boris?
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta love Seinfeld.
You gotta love the Ukraine clip from Seinfeld.
Yeah. So what happened in Ukraine?
All right. Well, a new craze is sweeping the nation of Ukraine. They're doing their own form of the bucket challenge.
Oh, no.
But it's not ice.
Oh, God. Okay. What were they using then?
Instead, they are tossing politicians that are unpopular into dirty trash cans. Isn't that a movement that we can get behind?
That is definitely a movement we can get behind.
I think it's time to put the hurt on the Ukraine.
I come from Ukraine. You not say Ukraine weak?
Yeah, well, we're playing a game here, pal.
Ukraine is game to you? How about I take your little Boris?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, So they're taking politicians and they're dumping them into trash cans, you said?
Yep. The trend first went public last month when Vitaly Zurovsky, who authored a bill to make protesting punishable by jail time, was thrown into a dumpster by an angry mob.
Oh, gosh.
It continued when radical members of the right-wing group Right Sector dumped Oleg Rudenko, who is an insurance official accused of taking bribes, they threw him into a trash can and shut the lid as he screamed with please.
This is like vigilante justice. This is less of raising awareness for a charity and more of like the people becoming a collective Batman.
Yeah. After Rudenko and Zurovsky, it went to social media with the hashtag popular, with the hashtag being the popular Hashtag trash bucket challenge.
Are they advocating, like, what? Like, kidnapping politicians and dumping them in trash cans? Or?
Yeah. This then expanded.
Why are there politicians so able to be overcome and thrown in trash cans?
Yeah, don't you guys have, like, security?
Yeah, don't they have, like, a Secret Service or something? Could you imagine if that happened in the U.S., Rich?
Oh.
We'd never hear the end of it.
You'd have Secret Service on everybody.
They'd break through the news and, oh my gosh, it'd be ridiculous.
Yep. The next victim was Victor Plapskin. What the?
Platypus.
Yeah. This name seriously has no vowels in it. What the hell is going on in Ukraine?
I think that was the guy that outlawed the vowel, and that's why they dumped him into the trash can.
Yeah.
What was his name? Platypus?
Plypyshyn. There's no vowels in there.
Plephilus?
Plephilusin?
Phallus? What was his name? Phallic? Penis?
Palafifinson? I don't know.
I think, you know, we did that one skit where we tried to say the longest words. We should try and say Ukrainian politicians' names.
Well, I'm having trouble here. I don't know what this politician's name is. Victor Polifovsin. All right.
Yeah.
This guy was a former colleague of ousted President Viktor Yanukovych. Shut up, Mike. I'm trying to get through this.
What was his name again? Weird Al Yankovic? So we have Phallus and Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah. Weird. That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Weird Al Yankovic running for president of Ukraine. This Victor Pfefferson was targeted by the Trash Bucket Challenge movement. So he was then next. And then there was a failed attempt on the next one. Lawmaker Nestor Suvruvik.
Saruf
is on fire. Woo! Yeah! I'm a DJ! Yeah! But that attempt failed. So I guess
Saruf isn't on fire.
The Ukrainian security's catching up to this.
You know, after four of their politicians have been assaulted, they're like, yeah. Hey, I think we have a problem, guys.
Yeah, we need to keep an eye out for these trash cans.
They're jumping out of back alleys and attacking our politicians.
Yeah. So, but there you go. In the meantime, this is an actual thing going on. Hashtag trash bucket challenge. If you want to check it out.
But don't participate.
And don't make me say these names. These are getting ridiculous.
Wait, what were they again?
God damn it, Mike. Seriously, what is this? There's no vowels in it.
Can I see, or is there another story
no,
on
no,
there?
No, no, here.
There's no vowels.
That's what I was trying to say.
Polyphysin. 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 This article is barely written in English, Rich. Oleg Rudenko, Zervosky, Polisnovis, Facebook, all these weird words.
So,
oh my gosh.
There you go. If you want to check it out for yourself, hashtag trash bucket challenge.
Or hashtag polyphysism.
Yeah.
That's great.
Polyphysism.
Polyphysism.
That's the best I can do.
Oh my gosh. There really wasn't any vowels in it.
No.
People won't believe us, but there was no vowels. I mean, you could count Y as a vowel, I guess, but even still.
That's BS. It's not a vowel.
No, it's not.
Not when you have a long last name like that. It doesn't help.
It only has like three letters. It's just P, L, and Y over and over again.
Is it a chemical? What the hell is this?
It's a chemical.
Oh, yes. Someone bring me the penicillin.
The penicillin? Oh, yeah.
Quick, I need to mix the penicillin with the Yankovic.
Oh, man. And that's how you make meth, kids.
Yep.
Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
There you go. The secret way to make meth in Ukraine. Get me the Pevlisin and the Yankovic. Let's move on to our last story here. You ready for this one?
Yes.
This one is absolutely crazy to imagine it happening, but it did. An intoxicated stranger dressed as zombie Santa Claus terrified two teenagers when he randomly entered their St. Paul, Minnesota home over the weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, just imagine that.
That's terrifying. Santa Claus is scary enough, and now zombie Santa Claus.
Yeah. A 14-year-old boy fled. He bolted.
He didn't just run. He fled.
Yeah. Fled from the house to get help.
He's still running.
And left his 16-year-old sister locked in the bathroom.
See ya.
Yeah.
You're on your own. See ya.
You're on your own. Yeah, exactly. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, that's too funny.
The children were scared, but they are fine now. Police were able to arrive on the scene and sort things out. The police did a nice job of calming the children down and explaining that the individual meant no harm, according to the father, Tom Sullivan, who was out. Fortunately, it had a happy ending, and no one will ever think of Santa the same way in this house.
Oh, man.
Police cited a man who was a University of St. Thomas senior for trespassing. The university is about six blocks from where the house was. A zombie pub crawl started in town that day at 4 p.m. Whoa!
That explains a lot. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's gone.
Oh.
4 p.m.
Wow.
Which really means that he was drinking probably 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Oh, my gosh.
Officers were called.
Drunk zombie Santa Claus.
Yep. Officers were called to the home. They were told that a man had entered the residence wearing a Santa suit but looking like a zombie. The man bursted into the house, vomited, and then passed out.
He just wanted someplace to throw up is what it was.
Yeah, he just wanted someplace to throw up and sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yep, but you know what? If you're a 14-year-old boy and you see vomiting zombie Santa Claus, yeah, you get the hell out of there.
See ya.
You're on your own.
I just love that image of this kid taking one look at this thing and just dashing out the door and just running all the way down the street, and the sister's like stuck in the bathroom.
Yep.
Screaming her head off because zombie Santa Claus is barfing all over the place.
Police cited the University of St. Thomas senior for trespassing and took him to the detoxification center.
That's going to ruin his chances of graduating, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the big thing there.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. But there you go.
Oh.
You know what?
That was funny.
You know what, kid? You did the right thing. Get the hell out of there.
The right thing, yeah.
You know?
Family doesn't matter. If there's an apocalypse, you trip them.
Vomiting zombie Jesus comes through the door. Or Santa, sorry. Jesus, Santa, it's all the same thing.
Yeah. Isn't that the Holy Trinity? Yeah. In the name of Jesus, Santa Claus, and the Easter Bunny, amen.
Yeah. If vomiting zombie Santa Claus bursts through the door, yeah, everyone's on their own.
You're going to need to pray to Jesus.
Yeah.
See ya.
You're on your own.
Yeah, oh my God.
And there you go. That is what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news for this week. Woo! What a batch of stories.
Oh, man. Oh, I love the odd news. Gotta love it.
All right, but before we wrap up this show, we like to do a little recap portion of the show, and we call it What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
Well, the one thing that I learned is that forget your family. Just run away if you run into a vomiting zombie Santa Claus or Jesus in your case.
You're on your own.
Just leave the family behind and just make a mad dash for the exit. I also learned that you love pronouncing Ukrainian names, Rich. It's like your hobby, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when there's no vowels in it.
And what were those two things that made meth again?
Hold on. I've got my secret formula here. It's Polyphosin and Yankovic.
There you go. That's apparently what we think makes meth. Yep. So good luck with that one. We also learned, speaking of drugs, if you're on drugs, help the police and they'll cut you a break.
Yeah, just be cooperative.
Yeah, and put your pants back on too. Yeah. That's the first step. But speaking of crime, apparently, kissing someone on the back of the neck makes stealing from them a-okay.
Yeah. At least comfort me if you're going to rob me.
Yeah, you know, people just want a little bit of...
Treat me to dinner. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Treat me to dinner and then steal all my money.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, and also we had some nasty bug news. If your house has 6,000 spiders in it, just kill it with fire.
Yeah.
Just move.
Set it ablaze, start anew.
Speaking of the spider house, if your house has a nickname, it's probably not a good place to live.
No. Don't live there.
No. And finally, congealed blood or a leech, either way, just blow your nose.
Yeah, come on, people. We don't want to have another leech story up the nose.
Yeah, ugh.
Yeah, let's end it on that.
Yeah, let's end it on that nasty note.
And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
And there you go. Coming to the end of another crazy episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Crazy as always.
Well, folks, this is the craziness, the epicness, the weirdness, the uniqueness,
the Ukrainianness,
of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some awesome, funny videos and some highlights from our favorite bits on the show. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, so you can take it with you anywhere. You listen to it on the go, at work, at home, anytime, anywhere. Just download the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
Yep, and if you're not doing anything Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., check out the Totally Driven Entertainment's Blog Talk Radio page, because that's where we debut each week's new episode from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. But if you can't make it to that, subscribe to the podcast. That's why we have the feed, so that you can listen to the Crispy Noodle Podcast anytime, anywhere, anyhow that you want to. That's how you do it.
That's right. And I believe we also have a SoundCloud page. Isn't that right, Rich?
That's right. That's where we put all of the shortened 1 to 2 minute mini noodle promos, where we take the best bits of the show and we condense them into a 1 to 2 minute mini noodle promo. So check out the SoundCloud page so that you can listen to clips that are easily shareable, easily listened to, so that you can share with family, friends, the craziness, the epicness, the awesomeness. That is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
So there you go. Lots of ways to share the Crispy Noodle Podcast and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. And that's how you find us on Twitter. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We're done here. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I can't wait. See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2014. Aruga! Boom! In your face! Ha ha!